So the last couple weeks, we've been talking about purpose. What is Hope Church about? And we talked a little bit about seeking, serving, and sharing. And the question that I want to address today is this. How do we accomplish what we have been called to do? In other words, how do you personally develop spiritually? Steve Brown writes this, "The most unhappy person in the world is not somebody who didn't get what he or she wanted. The most unhappy person is the one who got what she or he wanted, but found out it wasn't as wonderful after all." In all of my years of pastoring, here's something that I have learned. The most satisfied people I have ever met are people who have developed spiritual strength. The most satisfied people that I know doesn't have to do with your net worth, it has to do with your self-worth. And the most satisfied people I have ever known in my life are people who have developed spiritually. And so how do we do that? I love what this says in Ephesians chapter 4. "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastors and teachers." I like that because it says, it seems like it's super hollow. Maybe it's just in my ears. It says that, I don't know if you realize this, that I am a gift to you. Okay, you're as excited as I am. No, you don't have to do that. Like, oh, Jim, there's a sympathy clap or something. Hey, here's the thing. God has given us all something to do. And it says in here, I mean, I'm just reading the Bible. He gave gifts to the church. And why do you have pastors? Why do you have teachers? Why are those that can prophetically speak ahead? Here is why. My responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. So God has given pastors and teachers for this purpose, to equip you to do what God has called you to do. And we're going to keep doing Sunday. We're going to keep doing Wednesday. We're going to keep trying to equip you until the body of Christ is built up, until the body of Christ is where it needs to be mature. And it says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church." So it's important that we've talked about our purpose as a church, but it's not just our purpose as a church, it's our purpose as people who go to church. And what is it saying here? It's saying that you and me are supposed to mature. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to be equipped because we have something God wants us to do. And there's a warning in here, and this is why we want to be equipped, that there is teaching that seems so good that it almost sounds like the truth. But the fact of the matter, it's not the truth. And there's going to be more and more of this. As the days get closer to the return of Christ, and we talked several weeks ago about, and I don't want to rehash that, but about a prayer that was prayed in Congress, and part of that prayer was to a Hindu god. And we want to be equipped. We want to be mature. True satisfaction in life comes from living like Christ. In Colossians, it says this, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." And so we really don't compare ourselves with other people. We compare ourselves to God. And I've talked about this a little bit. I'm on this quest to get a little bit healthier. And I'm not comparing myself to you. You're not comparing yourself to me. Here's my judge. It's on the floor. We bought a brand new one. And I stand on it. And that is the judge. Dear Jesus. And you can't compare yourself to me or to somebody else. You have to compare your life to the precious Word of God. That's how we know. And it's not that easy. It's not easy for me to eat healthier. I mean, I had a dream the other night that my wife, she wouldn't give me a bowl for beans. And she said, "No, you can't eat that. You got to eat them with your hands." I'm like, "What?" And then there was pizza. And she didn't let me have the pizza. I'm like, what? And then in this dream, I was saying, I've got to video our dog. Our dog was like lacing the top layers of lasagna. I mean, so there's Winston doing lasagna. I'm having to eat beans with my hand. And there's pizza and I can't have it. And I'm like, this is not easy. And then I stand on the judge. It's not easy to get physically fit. And I just spent a lot of years just, one more fried food, one more dessert, one more. And all of a sudden, over some years, now I'm trying to reverse that. And spiritually speaking, you can come to know the Lord and be so on fire for the Lord, and then just over the years, we kind of get soft in the Lord. And when we get soft in the Lord, it's a beautiful opportunity for the devil to tell us you're right where you need to be. I know a couple of things about spiritual strength. And the first one is this: it's not automatic. You will never become spiritually strong just because you say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." The scripture says this in Hebrews. He says, "You have been believers so long, now you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need somebody to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and can't eat solid food. For somebody who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Have you ever worked with somebody, or maybe there's somebody like, you wouldn't want to say it out loud, but in your family or this or that, who's just never grown up? You know what I'm talking about? The person you're like, "Would you just grow up? Quit acting like a child." That actually can happen in the church, where somebody's accepted Christ, grew in Christ for about 6 months, maybe a year, and then they repeat it year after year after year after year. And I know this, and I'm going to kind of, for me, for years, I've said, "Well, yeah, I'm going to lose some weight." I thought it would just happen. I thought it would just work. Do you know when it began to work? When I was super honest and I stood on the judge. And the judge said, "You're a little bit in denial." And I think if you and me, if we want to grow in Christ, we can't be in denial that we really are spiritually mature when we've just done a six-month thing for 16 years. Again, I'm not putting anybody down today, but I'm saying there is a time where you're going to have to know what you believe, and that time is coming sooner than later. You're going to have to know what's right. You're going to have to be able to discern what's wrong. And you can't do that if you don't really work at it. Growing in Christ is not automatic. And here's another thing that I found out about growing in Christ. It's a process, and there are no shortcuts. Like, I can't sleep with my Bible on my head. Go, man, I'm so spiritual. I do like a part of this verse in Timothy. Paul's writing to his young disciple, and he says this: "Don't waste time arguing over godless idea or old wives' tales." I didn't even know what an old wives' tale is. So I looked up what an old wives' tale is, and basically it's some tradition that's been passed down over time that it really doesn't make any difference at all. And Paul's telling Timothy, hey, you know what? There's a lot of things you can argue about, and it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. He said, instead, train yourself to be godly. We talked about this in the last couple of weeks. The law in the Old Testament focused on all the things you shouldn't do. Hey, no, 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 no. And Jesus said, how about we focus on what we ought to do? Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And then love others as you love yourself. And there's a prerequisite to that. You have to love yourself before you love others. And then we talked about, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm with you always. And I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. But there's a prerequisite to that. You can't make a disciple unless you've become one. And so Paul tells Timothy, train yourself to be godly. And then I like this part. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Hallelujah with that one. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. You can be the most in-shape person in the world and be on a track to hell. This is a trustworthy saying, and everybody should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Here's what I have learned in the last month of eating right. People have said, I mean, I know you can't tell. I mean, no one has come up to me and go, man, you look so good. Well, it's because I can probably lose 100 pounds before you're going to notice. But here's the thing I've learned. Daily discipline makes a difference. It's helped me to lose like 18 pounds. You're like, Jim, what diet are you on? I'm on no diet. I've cut out the crud that I love to eat, and that's why I'm dreaming. I don't know what the beans are about, but I'm dreaming about pizza. I'm dreaming about lasagna. If you talk to me, I'm just kind of like thinking, hey, what you eating? I mean, I'm still working this thing out. I'm not on a diet. I've gotten rid of the stuff that's so lovely. Do you know what I'm saying? The stuff that you bite into it and you're like, oh my goodness. But the stuff that's bad for you, I've gotten rid of that. You want to grow in Christ? Cut out the stuff that's going to keep you from growing in Christ. And then I'm trying to put the good stuff into my body. And then I've been thinking a lot about Rocky, the movie, when he was in Russia. You know, like, I'm picking up this and picking up that. I'm trying to do the plank. And the first time I did it, I was up to 7 seconds. And I thought I was awesome. I almost went to cardiac arrest. And it was terrible. But here's what's happened. Now, this week, I did that plank 1 minute straight. Yeah. Let me just tell you. It's not easy. I dream of food. I dream of that stuff that's so good. Do you understand? If I'm going to get myself healthier, just in my 57-year-old body, I have to focus on it daily. I have to cut out the crud that I know. It's like, well, that one meal's not going to kill me. Of course it's not. And I allow myself one or two just reckless meals every week. But this so much ties into our spiritual life. And here's why this is important. January 17th. That's the day most people give up on their New Year's resolutions. So some of you right now are going, yeah, I'm gonna go through the Bible. I'm gonna do it. It's so good. And then you're already done. And then you feel bad. Well, I don't want you to feel bad, but I want you to understand, if you really want to grow in Christ and you really want satisfaction in your life, no matter what happens, so you're not happy because things are good and you're not savvy. I mean, if you want stability and strength, it's daily. It's absolutely daily. And I'm not doing any, like with my own body, I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm not saying that other things don't work. I'm just trying to do gym. Jim, quit eating bad stuff. Okay, that's half of it. Now eat some good stuff. And exercise daily. There is a time coming when sound teaching is going to be looked at as false teaching. And false teaching is going to be looked at as sound teaching. How will you know the difference? And that's what it's talking about here. This is why we work hard and we continue to struggle. And we want to train in godliness. Martin Luther said it this way, a religion that gives nothing, cost nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. And I want you and me to look at our life in light of the scriptures. Don't compare you with me. I can't compare me with you. You've got to compare yourself with the one who will judge your soul. And that is God Almighty. And that's why I am so excited that I get to be your pastor and I get to try to encourage you and to equip you so you can fulfill what God has called you to do. And we get in habits. Peter says it this way, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Grow in that. Take a step in that. It will not happen automatically, and it doesn't happen through any type of shortcut. But I can tell you this, I've actually been able to grow in the Lord because it's been a daily thing. And I can tell you there's been times in my life and times as a pastor where I wanted to take some shortcuts or just, you know, I've already gone to school all these years. I've done this, I've done that. And the Lord has just, he's pricked my heart and said, Jim, You're confusing your doing with your being. You do the pastor thing, but I want you to be in a relationship with me. And I'm like, Lord, but I'm so busy. There's so many things that pull, you know, and all of those are great, and they're all excuses. Just like when I made excuses for years and years and years to eat just a little bit bad. I made excuses over and over again why I couldn't do this or why I couldn't do that. I'm tired. I'm busy. You know, I got kids. I can come up with 10,000 excuses to justify any way I want to live. But with my physical body, there's one thing that I know. The judge. The judge doesn't lie. I think it does, but it's a fact. That's what it is. So, Jim, be in denial or deal with it. When it comes to your spiritual life, you say, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. And you probably are for yesterday's faith, but not the faith that's coming. There's a shakeup going on in the church. There's a shakeup going on in our society. And I want to encourage you, as it says here, I love this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So many people are more stressed out than they've ever been. I can help you with that. So many marriages are hurting bad. I can help you with that. It's called get to know the Lord. And that's why I love Hope Church. There's Bible stuff that you can do with just ladies. There's Bible studies that you can do with just guys. There's something where you can come together on Wednesday. And one of the things I worry about Hope at Home is that it takes about 30 days to create a habit. Well, folks at home, you've been at home for 8 months to almost a year. How do you transition back? I'm not putting anybody down who's at home, but I am concerned. I'm concerned that some who really don't have to be there, who could be here, choose the easier way. Now, don't get misunderstandings here. I love everybody. And I can tell you there's people who come on Sunday who don't live for God on Monday. I'm not putting down anybody. I'm trying to encourage us in the Word of God where it talks about don't forsake meeting together. Don't think that you're something that you're not. One author wrote it this way: if you don't get what you want, it's a sign that you either didn't seriously want it or you tried to bargain over the price. How badly do you want to be ready for heaven? How badly do you want to feel satisfaction deep in your heart? How badly do you not want to be misled into the things of this world that sound so good, but they're not? That's what we're talking about today. We've got to keep growing. We've got to keep learning. We've got to keep moving forward. If you want to grow spiritually, it is not automatic, and there are no shortcuts. Let me just wrap up with this. I encourage you to judge yourself. Jim, you judge yourself on this. How this week have you been seeking? Have you spent any time in God's Word? Have you spent any time in prayer? If the answer to that is yes, well, then you're taking a step forward. If the answer to that is no, then you're probably taking a little step backwards. Jesus said this. Jesus said to the people who believe in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The world wants to give you a truth that is not going to make you happy. It's going to enslave you. It's going to cause you momentarily, maybe, to be happy. But the most satisfied people I have ever met in my life, those are people who have gone the distance, even in death, they are strong. I've watched people, even in this church, when their daughter died, they were solid as a rock. And that is a horrible thing to have happen to anybody. Did they like it? No. Do we like when bad things happen to good people? No. But stuff does happen. This is not our home. But how ready are you for your next home? I want everyone to survive the coronavirus. I want everyone to, and that's why I'm glad some people are at home with medical conditions and they shouldn't be in the building with us. But even if we all survive that, in a short amount of time, we're going to stand face to face in front of Jesus Christ. How have you been seeking this week? Another quick question. How have you been serving? In the last 6 months, it's been really hard. I get it. Last 8 months. But are you thinking about ways you can serve? You're like, I'm not good enough. Well, neither was Moses. He had a problem speaking, and then he had a little, murder thing go on. David wasn't really great either. I mean, he was a great warrior, but he had a little adultery thing that went on in his life. And Noah, I'm glad he did real well and built the ark, but did you look at the part where he was drunk? Paul, we read something that Paul wrote. But before that, he was on a mission to put an end to Christianity. He would drag mamas out of their homes and throw them in prison. Peter, he was a loose cannon. If you haven't done anything right, Peter didn't do everything right. He denied he even knew Jesus. Abraham, the father of the nation, all that. Well, he was kind of a liar. So don't misunderstand me. God hates sin, but he loves sinners, and he wants them to live as God intended. And how do you do that? God's given you some time. You've got to choose to use it for him. He's given you talents. You've got to choose to use those for him. He's given you treasures. Kevin talked about supporting. What have you done to serve? Again, I'm not here to judge anyone but me. Right? I'm here to judge me today. And I'm saying, Lord, maybe there's something you would like me to do. Maybe, God, I never dreamed I could be a pastor. I didn't have anything that anyone would want or anything to offer. And look, I've been your pastor for years, and I love you all. You're such a joy in my life, and according to Ephesians 4, I'm a gift to you. Just saying. Last thing. When's the last time you shared your faith? What if somebody today said to you, I need to know Jesus Christ. Could you take him there? Do you know enough of your Bible to say, this is how you accept Jesus Christ? That matters. I talked to someone this week, and and they had every good excuse. Well, I can't come to church on Sunday because of this and that, and maybe I could come on a Wednesday. And I said, we offer a Wednesday. Oh, well, maybe I could. They're just making excuses. And I thought, in their mind, their excuses are justified. But if you compare it to the Word of God and really believe that Jesus Christ died, literally died so your sins could be forgiven and that he could give you a path, he could give you a track on in life that would make you the most satisfied, and we're like, yeah, I'm busy, God. Why would we want to live this level of faith? Why would you want to go to the work of being what God has called you to be? Well, I think one reason is just to show how thankful we are. I cannot believe that God saved me. I cannot believe that he didn't let me continue on a reckless trajectory that my life was on. He actually took me out of that. I owe him everything. He owes me nothing. Nothing. Another reason, I want to obey God's plan for my life. Because I obeyed God's plan, I get to be here with you. And if you obey God's plan, it's going to touch somebody else. But if you decide I'm not going to do that, then somebody else isn't going to be touched. You matter. You're super important. But I'm telling you, I saw a picture of me not too long ago. And it kind of made me mad. I'm like, I don't even like how that looks. And it just so happened to be our like super important family picture that now we have plastered in our home and Sharon has part of it on Facebook. And I'm like, man. Again, this has nothing to do with anybody else but me and where I'm at as a 57-year-old and knowing when heart attacks happen and all of that. And I've had to be in the hospital with so many over the years, and it's about my age. Well, I can't change everything, and I can't change anyone else, but by God's strength and remembering Rocky in Russia, I can change me. And I can't help you to make you to want to love the Lord. I can't like try to twist your arm or, you know, snap your leg and say, you've got to love God. That's I want to do is say this, friends, I love you. And there's a time coming. There's a time that's already here where people are going to twist the truth. And if you don't know what truth is, you won't know what twisted truth looks like. So why do I want to grow in God? Because I'm thankful. Because I want to obey him. And the other thing is, I want my faith to stay alive. Do you know why I'm wanting to stay alive on earth? We have some grandbabies. And I want to play with them. And they're so adorable. And I want to stay married to Sharon. And I know if I go before her, she'll be so mad, it will not be good for me, even in heaven. And so I need to do what I can do. And here's what you can do. You can take an honest assessment of you and just ask, are you seeking? Are you serving? Are you sharing? And if you're not, then don't be embarrassed of you, but you got to take a step. You've got to take a step and move towards that. There's all kinds of things that people could do here at church. You know how many times I've been called this week and somebody said, hey, do you got something for me to do? None. You know how many times that there are things that you could be blessed by doing? So many. And we don't mind doing a lot of things. It's just a blessing. But it's such a blessing, you need to get on track with that. Okay. Worship team, if you'll come up, we're going to sing one last song. I just want to read this as they're coming. Jesus gave us the plan that comes from purpose. We've talked about this the last several weeks. It's not just knowing what to do. It's a matter of you and me taking it personally. It's a matter of you and me taking it personally. And we don't try to make a bunch of rules here at Hope, but we do say this, we want you to seek weekly. We want you to serve. And we want you, what a great example. Maybe one day I'll have muscles and I can carry my own pulpit. And we want you to share, because you and I both know there are people who are really desperate right now, people who are really hurting right now, and they don't have the answers, they don't know what to do. we do have answers. Jesus Christ is the answer. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for friends at home. Thank you for friends here. God, I pray that you would help us not to be satisfied where we are, but to take one step closer to you. One day we're going to stand in front of you and we are literally going to be judged by you. God, I think we would rather judge ourselves, not look at anybody else, judge ourselves according to your word before you judge us face to face. You said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I would rather do that right here, right now. Help us, I pray, to take another step closer to you, to seek you, to serve you, and then if we do that, we'll obviously have something to share. Bless these friends, I pray. Bless them, encourage them, grow them in you. In Jesus, your precious name. Amen. Let's stand together.